Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Day is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
No!
And Chris Ello.
And I finished the entire speech, and I'll never forget Ted Leitner coming over to me going, "Man, you are going to be in big trouble. You didn't thank your wife at all for this party."
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to it. Hour number two of our Peoria get-together here on a Thursday from the Padres Training Complex in Arizona. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together with you right here at the Padre Complex, actually. Scraby's favorite, Yu Darvish, just walked by here on way out to the parking lot.
Yeah. And
Scraby offered him a hearty congratulations.
I don't know why I did that, Chris.
For winning the World Baseball Classic.
I don't know why I did that.
He seemed pleased.
He
nodded
said,
in your direction.
Yeah,
said, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Scraby, obviously Yu Darvish's best buddy now, as he exchanges pleasantries with the Padre ace. Darvish did speak to the media this morning,
yeah.
So he is back in Padre, in the Padre gear, and he was very unclear as to what his plans are in terms of being prepared for opening day. I loved his answer. He was asked if he thought he would pitch on opening day, and he correctly answered, "That'll be up to the manager." It was very simple.
It's a
very
good
answer by Yu Darvish. So, but speaking of opening day, Scraby, we are 1 week away.
We are.
1 week away. Next Thursday, the 2023 Major League Baseball season will begin. The first pitch of the season will be thrown either at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., or in Yankee Stadium.
Either.
Both games start at the exact same time, so we don't know who will actually deliver the first pitch of the season.
Yeah.
It'll either be the Nationals against the Braves.
I bet you there's a bet for that.
Or it'll be the Yankees against the Giants. But those are the actual season opening games next Thursday. We all know the Padres host the Rockies next Thursday afternoon at 1:10. The Dodgers kick off their season next Thursday night. They will be home to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So the Padres can get the jump on the Dodgers, Scraby. Get out to a victory Thursday afternoon. Put the Dodgers in their rearview mirror right off the
bat.
Keep
them there.
And just keep them there, right, for the entire 2023 season. It's amazing. 1 week from opening day in Major League Baseball. It doesn't seem all that long ago that Cronenworth had the magic hit to eliminate the Dodgers. And
I can still remember where I was in the stadium when
that happened. Of course, everybody can. And where we were when Musgrove pitched the ball game against the Mets, and Josh Bell hit the home run to start the series against the Mets and get the Padres going.
And Trent Grisham having his wild card series to remember.
All of the magic that happened last postseason doesn't seem all that long ago. But here we are. A new season is practically upon us, and it'll begin next Thursday. Speaking of winners and losers, the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 starts tonight. Kansas State and Michigan State will tip off at the bottom of the hour. Keep it here. I'll keep you up to date on all the scores and what's going on in those games. But in the meantime, Scraby's going to tell us about what bets we have to make in today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. And we are going to review, well, we don't have any bets that actually have paid off yet because the games haven't started. But we'll talk about what we did yesterday. But first, this hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by your local San Diego County UPS store. Your local San Diego County UPS store locations are hosting a shred event from March 20th through March 25th. 50% off shredding services. Visit theupsstore.com for the location nearest you and see store for details. Now, Arkansas, Connecticut, tonight.
Yeah, UConn, what did we bet in that game?
4-point favorite for UConn when we bet.
Yeah.
I was the only one who took UConn. You guys took
You're
the sauce.
You're laying the points.
Yeah.
Tony and I are going with the sauce.
You guys are going with
plus
the sauce.
Plus 4 points. I wonder if they call Arkansas the sauce in Arkansas.
I don't think they do.
We're like the only place that refers
Tony
to them.
Tony said it one time, and we've never gotten rid of it.
No, it's just like when it's like ooey pooey.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's like when Tony called Indiana University of Purdue
ooey pooey.
Ooey pooey.
IUPUI.
IUPUI, ooey pooey. We just go with that now.
So yes,
Tony's invented a couple of sayings on
he
this
has.
Show.
So if the sauce win, shirtless Eric Musselman, and you guys win the bat.
You know what? I guarantee if they win, Musselman will take the shirt off because he's going to keep that. That's going to be his thing now going forward, yeah, if they keep winning. So
doing something like that.
Just for that reason alone, I might have to start rooting harder for UConn.
Just like starting something like that, it's a lot of pressure to keep having to take your shirt off every time you win a big game.
Man, Musselman doesn't care. He loves the eyeballs. Loves the eyeballs on him.
Next game, Gonzaga, UCLA. UCLA are 1.5-point favorites in the game. All of us took the Zags at plus 1.5.
Yeah, I don't know that any of us feel you do because you picked Gonzaga to win the whole tournament.
I do feel like I did feel
but
like
But I don't feel great about this. UCLA is playing awfully well. Gonzaga, you know, they're there every single year. It's going to be a great game, and we'll see who ends up winning it. UCLA's got a lot of weapons. Two really good coaches, too.
Yeah.
Mark Few and Mick Cronin. And that's a great coaching matchup.
And, again, the only reason I picked Gonzaga is because they're under the radar, and not many people are talking about them. They're going to win at some point, and so why not
win
this
it all,
year?
Scraby says. This is the year.
All right, my Owls, baby, taking on Tennessee. Tennessee is a 5.5-point favorite in this game. I can't take my Owls, though. We all took Tennessee.
You didn't take the Owls?
No, we all took Tennessee.
You didn't even bet on Florida Atlantic, the team that you guided to the Sweet 16?
We all took Tennessee because I had them ending in the Sweet 16.
All
so
right.
I can't keep going with them, but
right.
The Florida Atlantic Owls have plus 5.5. I'm pretty surprised that all of us picked Tennessee, though.
I am, too. The Owls have been pretty good.
They
pretty
have.
Good.
Michigan State.
I mean, they beat Memphis in the first game. Memphis, a good team.
Yeah.
And Florida Atlantic knocked them off. So I wouldn't put it past them tonight.
And Penny Hardaway threw his water bottle across the court. Like,
he was upset.
It was pretty hilarious.
He was upset.
Michigan State. And, you know, I'm kind of happy that that hasn't become a bigger story. Because as soon as he threw it, I thought, man, we're going to be talking about this in the Big Five on Monday.
Now, he should be. He has a right to be, you know, upset. There was a controversial call right at the end of the game. It didn't go his way. His team got eliminated. I mean, was he supposed to be jumping up and down?
No, but not throwing water bottles. I mean, Steph Curry gets suspended for throwing mouthpieces.
Yeah, true enough.
Michigan State, Kansas State. Kansas State plus 1.5.
This is the one I feel the best about.
You're taking Michigan State.
Yeah.
Tony and I are both taking Kansas State.
Yeah, this is the game of the four that are being played today. This is the one I would call my best bet of the day, Michigan State. Although you and Tony disagree with me taking Kansas State. But Tom Izzo in this spot, he is money.
I know. And, you know, most years I pick Michigan State to at least go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And this year I did not because I've been burned so many times. And now the team does look like it's going to possibly get to an Elite Eight.
They're good. They're much better than they played during the season. That is for sure. All right. What about the other four
games?
Yeah,
those are the games for tonight. Tomorrow's games, as we know, San Diego State starts at 3:30 on TBS. They are 7.5-point underdogs. So,
well, you know what I'm going to do there.
You're going to take Alabama, I know. you've been telling me all
Alabama
day that they're going to win.
For the blowout?
You've been telling me all day that they're going to win.
You know me. That's reverse psychology.
I know.
Of course, that's reverse psychology. I got to bet the Aztecs. I do believe they're good enough to at least play within 7.5 of Alabama.
Come on, man.
We're better than that. People are giving us no love. And, I think the Aztecs are going to use a little of that against everyone.
I went and put these in the computer, I thought long and hard about this one because, obviously, I want to see the Aztecs win. I want to see it continue and everything. But 7.5 points, Brandon Miller... The number one team in the country.
Do whatever you want.
I do think the Aztecs can keep it within 7.5, though, so I'm going to take the Aztecs. I don't know that they win, but plus 7.5 points is too good for me to pass up.
All right.
Now, another 7.5 spread game would be Miami and Houston tomorrow, 4:15. Houston minus 7.5 in this game on the spread. What do you think, Chris?
I think Jim Larrañaga and Miami, Florida are going to make sure they stay in this game as well. Houston's not a blowout-type team. They're a good, solid, half-court team. They don't play blowout games. They were down pretty big last week to Auburn in the second round. Had a good second half, rallied to win that game. Obviously Houston, they and Alabama are the two teams to beat, but I think Miami keeps this close. I'll take Miami plus the points.
You know, Jesse Agler and yourself were talking about this morning, this very game. And Jesse obviously loves that his Hurricanes are in this spot. He said the injuries are a concern. And so I'm going to have to think that Houston wins by more than 8 just because of the injuries alone. Not because Miami is not a good team. But...
No, Miami is a good team. They're the ACC champions, but they are not 100%.
Yeah. Xavier and Texas. This is the game. Gonzaga and UCLA and then Xavier and Texas are the two games that are probably the best of the next 2 days. And Texas is a 4-point favorite in this one. I will go first. I picked Texas to go pretty far, so I'm going to have to take Texas here.
I also am going to take Texas. I haven't been that enthralled with Xavier yet. The first game, they really lucked out. They were almost eliminated by Kennesaw State in the very first game. They closed strong in that game, had a strong finish. They were down 6 to 8 points with about 4 minutes to go and pulled that game out. I think Texas is going to be too deep for Xavier. Although Xavier is a really good 3-point shooting team and can light it up on any given night.
Yeah, they can. And
final game.
I was going to say something, and I'm not going to say
that. You
had
another analogy.
No, it's not a great point, so I'm going to keep that one to myself. Princeton.
Well,
now that you did that, we all
want to hear it.
Nope, it was like...
I'm refusing to move on.
Okay, well, then you're going to have to refuse, because it was along the lines of, if Xavier scores more points than Texas, they're going to win the game, and then I stopped myself. But that wasn't the thought. Anyway, Princeton and Creighton tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Creighton, 10-point favorites in this game.
Wow.
The Tigers... Not looking like anyone thinks they're going to win it all.
No, nobody.
Even though no one thought they were going to beat Arizona. No one thought. I don't know who they beat in the second round.
Missouri. They beat them bad.
They beat them by more than 10 points.
They didn't even struggle with Missouri. That wasn't even a contest. Princeton's playing great basketball right now. Obviously, Creighton's a big favorite because people don't know who Princeton is. But if you've been paying attention to this tournament, Princeton is not a paper-thin team. I'm going to take Princeton plus the 10 points for sure.
I was thinking the same thing, and I hope that Princeton wins because then the Aztecs can face them in the Elite Eight round.
Well, be careful what you wish for, but let's just hope the Aztecs win and have to deal with that. The Aztecs actually play first, and Creighton and Princeton play after the Aztecs do.
Yes, so. That one, I think the Creighton and Princeton game is the third game. Yeah, Xavier, Texas, 6:45. It goes San Diego State, Alabama, Miami, and Houston, and then it goes Princeton, Creighton, Xavier, Texas.
All right, that's the schedule for tomorrow. The NCAA Sweet 16 actually kicks off tonight. There's our picks. We'll take a timeout. More to come in this hour, including an interview with Michael Wacha when Gwen and Chris returns after a check of traffic.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mouse Gravy, Chris Ello back here at the Peoria Sports Complex, having all of the big names walk by us. I did manage to not embarrass us, Chris, and I didn't say hi to a couple of the guys that walk by. I just feel like I'm the guy that no one wants to walk by.
Well, you're the guy that nobody wants to say hello to. I don't know that you're the guy that nobody wants to walk past.
No, they're going into the clubhouse. They're like, don't walk past that guy. He's going to say hi to you. I don't know who he is.
They have no choice but to walk past us to get their car. So we're right at the exit of the Peoria Sports Complex. But one thing a lot of fans probably don't know is during spring training, when these guys are playing these split squad games,
yeah,
as soon as they come out of the game, they go back, they shower, whatever, get changed, and they kind of go home. I mean,
it's
during the game is still actually being played, but some guys have already exited the premises for the day.
I was talking to you about this in a break. Like, spring training to me is just so strange because you can have two games going on at once. You live in a place for like almost 2 months, and you just leave in the middle of the game. It's just so strange to me. But
yeah,
San Diego Padres fans, the party starts before the game on the Coaster Train. Join the winning team and buy your Coaster Train tickets to Padres games and score big at goncTD.com/Padres. All right, we have Michael Wacha coming up here. We're also going to have Nelson Cruz in about 20 minutes or so. He was one of the guys who walked by us on the way out. So, Michael Wacha, LCS MVP in 2013.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 10 years since a 21-year-old Michael Wacha was superstar quality pitching.
Yeah.
Helped the St. Louis Cardinals knock off the L.A. Dodgers and won an LCS MVP. So he says it in the interview, man. It's been a long time since that happened. But the other interesting thing he brought up, and you'll hear this interview, but this is his fourth year in a row,
yeah,
right, as a free agent. And it took a little longer than it usually does for him to get signed. He was on into February before, you know, they finally signed him. And now I think it's a good thing the Padres did.
Yeah, it definitely is a good thing the Padres did. And so let's hear from Michael Wacha.
Back at you with more Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We are now joined by Padres starter Michael Wacha. Michael, well, thank you for your time this morning. How are you?
No, everything's going good. I appreciate you guys having me on here. And, no, all good. All good here in spring training.
So you've had a terrific spring training thus far. Everything has gone as of plan. How are you feeling as you get into one of your last starts, I believe, of spring training? How's the body feeling? How's the arm feeling? Are you where you want to be at this point in spring?
Yeah, no, I'm real happy with how the ball's been coming out. Definitely a couple things I want to work on in this last start heading into the regular season. But overall, just excited about how the body feels, how the shoulder and arm feels, and, you know, this thing getting started up here in about a week or so got this last one on Sunday to prepare for the regular season starts, and gonna take that to, you know, keep on getting this pitch count built up.
Yeah.
And you know, continue working on a couple little things I want to work on before the season starts. But you know, it's coming down here to an end, and you know, it's right around the corner.
Michael Wacha is with us, and can you believe your good luck? I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, you could have ended up who knows where this season pitching, but you've landed in San Diego, which is a pretty fun place to live, a number one. Number two, got a pretty good baseball team to play for. Number three, you're going to be a big part of that. Have you had a chance to say, boy, this is really working out well, and I'm really excited to get going?
No, you know, I think about that almost every day, really. It's, you know, in the offseason, whenever the Padres, you know, showed some interest, it seemed like that was the place that that we were going to get something done. And, you know, I was just real excited that we were able to get something done here. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun, you know, this past month, month and a half here. And just getting to know the guys, getting to know the staff, and start building those relationships that will, you know, carry us throughout the season.
I would argue the Padres got lucky. I mean, the fact the fact that you were available as late as you were, was that a bit of a surprise? I mean, you had a good season in Boston last year. Was it a bit of a surprise that it took as long as it did?
You know, I kind of think so, maybe. So this was my fourth year being a free agent in a row. And so, you know, the previous 3 years I signed in, you know, November, early December. And so, you know, getting into that February range was definitely a little late on my end, I felt like. But, you know, all things, you know, kind of play out the way they do for some reason, and ended up getting, you know, getting some interest from these guys here, and we're able to work something out to get something done, and, you know, couldn't be more excited.
How do you not allow it to affect your preparation? You know, because, as you said, in the past, you signed in November, December, pretty easy to keep your routines and everything going with a destination already in sight. When there's kind of a question mark, how do you prevent yourself from falling into the trap of worrying about that as opposed to continuing to get ready for the season?
Right. No, it's it could easily have gone the other way, you know. But, you know, down there in Florida, we got a really good group of guys that we work out with and train with. And I knew I would be pitching somewhere at some point this season. And so I knew it was important for me to be ready whenever that time was, and whenever we did figure out where we were going to be landing. And so, you know, it was just treating it just like any other off season down there, and preparing the way I prepare for a season to get myself built up and ready for that spring training startup.
Michael Wacha, this is an NLCS most valuable player.
Yeah.
You know, you pitched great in the postseason. Take us back a little bit to those moments and your ability to come up and pitch well in those moments. I mean, that to me is an added bonus. I mean, we're getting a great pitcher here in San Diego, but a guy that has postseason experience and has done well. What have you learned about your previous postseasons that you can hopefully bring to our postseason this year?
Yeah, you know, that was quite a while ago, but, you know, it's I've played on some really good teams that have been in the postseason, you know, quite a bit, and so, you know, having that experience and taking each experience and learning from it, you know, the good and the bad, and, you know, just using that as preparation for what's to come in the future. But, you know, it's nothing like postseason games. You know, the adrenaline, you know, the excitement going around the ballpark and the city, and, you know, just the willingness to win and get that championship. And, you know, it's a really special thing, and something that I'm always, you know, it's always on my mind. It's on my mind back here on the backfields that, hey, this work is going to get us where we need to be, you know, at the end of the year to make a little run at this thing.
Michael Wacha joins us here, Padres starter. Michael, you came to the league at the age of 21. I face the 22-year-old version of Michael Wacha. How has that pitcher evolved into this pitcher that we have now?
Yeah, it's a little different different pitcher on the mound right now, I would say. You know, it was mainly fastball changeup back then. I mean, those are still kind of my bread and butter, you know, working off each other there. But I feel like I've added some new pitches in there with the curveball and the cutter, a little bit of a slider as well. But just continually to evolve and understand who I am as a pitcher and what my strengths are, and you know, my best way to go out and get outs, really. Yeah. And I feel like that's filling up the zone, that's getting weak contact, letting the defense play behind me, and going as deep as I can in the games and getting punch outs when I need to.
Does the focus change as you get older in terms of how you get your outs?
I don't care how the outs come. Really. if you're out there and you rob a home run for me, you know, that's an out in the book, you know. Or if it's a punch out, you know, guy on third, less than two, you know. They all mean the same to me. And, you know, it's all about trying to go deep into the games, you know, getting our guys in a position to win a ball game with our studs in the lineup. You know, they're going to be putting up runs for us. And so it's just, hey, give our guys a chance to win a ball game and go as deep as you can.
We just talked to Nabil Krismat about his changeup. Yeah. Have you seen his changeup? Do you still work on your changeup? Do you still try to pick up little tips from other guys on your changeup? Or is it something that you've just been good with for a while now?
Oh, I love changeup talk. So, yeah.
You don't hear that very often.
Changeup talk, that's good.
Yeah, everyone talks about spinning the ball and everything. But, I'm pronating that thing in there. So, no, I've talked to Nabil. I've talked to a lot of guys. You know, during the games in the dugout, we're talking grips, we're talking thought process behind each thing. But it's a lot of fun talking to the guys that I haven't played with before or have admired watching from a distance and stuff. But, everyone's got their own unique way of doing it their way, and that's what makes them good and stuff. But, yeah, Nabil's grip is a little interesting, and, but it works for him.
It's funny you mentioned that. I was privy to one of these conversations. You and Nick Martinez on the backfield having this change-up discussion. And I recall one of the things you said was you think you felt like you took a big step when you started throwing the change-up, regardless of whether it was lefty, righty. Yeah. That was kind of a turning point for you. I mean, getting to that point, what was it that allowed you to realize, all right, I can trust throwing this changeup to this right-handed hitter? Because, you know, for a long time, that was kind of frowned upon from pitchers.
Right. No, I mean, it can be a little dicey situation, you know, going in there with something soft to a righty down and in their sweet spot. But you just got to trust it, and you just got to throw it with conviction that, hey, you know, this guy's not going to see it. He's going to see fastball in and try to get his head out on it and, you know, try to be on time with that. But really, I'm pulling the string on it. And it's I trust that I've got the action to it that it's going to have and that it's going to do what it's going to do. So, you know, I learned that early on in my career. I would say that, hey, it don't matter, lefty, righty,
throw that thing
and you know, because it's my best secondary pitch for sure.
Nothing like throwing a changeup into a right-handed hitter, and he hits a 400-foot fly ball. Foul.
Yeah.
Still strike one, right, Michael?
Yep.
Still strike one. Yep.
Sometimes that's the best thing they can do with it.
Right. Set it up for later. Well, Michael, we certainly appreciate your time, man. Good luck.
Yep.
Good luck to health the rest of the way, and look forward to watching you out there on the mound, man.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it for having me.
Yep, big year.
All right, there he is, Michael Wacha, our second actual interview of the day after Joe Musgrove a little earlier, the second of six Padre interviews we have for you on the Gwynn and Chris program today. Coming up shortly will be a visit with Nelson Cruz, the Padres' new designated hitter, a guy that Manny Machado finally refers to as Dad. So
I forgot about that.
That interview with Nelson Cruz coming up in just a few minutes. We got to take a break right now. NCAA Sweet 16, they're getting started with that in Kansas City. Actually, where's this game? New York, I think. It's Sweet 16, Michigan State and Kansas State. We'll keep you up
New
to
York,
date.
New York, yes.
It's in New York, yes. We'll keep you up to date with what happens there and all the rest of the sports on this Thursday afternoon. More Gwynn and Chris headed in your direction. Great day to be in Peoria, Arizona, covering Padres spring training. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together here at the Padres complex. Next door to the actual stadium where the Padres are playing at Kansas City in preseason action, spring training action. They're underway in the NCAA Sweet 16, Michigan State and Kansas State, tied at five. Obviously, that's early in the game, Scraby.
It sure is.
I don't believe I need to tell anybody that. That would be, you'd have a hell of a story if it was midway through the second half and it was still tied at 5-5. Yeah, that would be surprising. We'll keep you up to date on that game, Arkansas and UConn. That one tips off soon. But Nelson Cruz, talk about this guy, and I think kind of forgotten a little bit was the addition of Nelson Cruz at a price tag of only $1 million.
Yeah.
Coming over as a free agent. Let's give you some of the history with Nelson Cruz. He comes into this season with 459 career home runs.
Yep.
I mean, come on. I mean, the guy hits 41 more. I don't know that he can do that this year. That would really be something. He could get to 500, but he is going to be the only two active players last year in baseball that had more home runs than Nelson Cruz were Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah.
And they both retired, right?
No, Miguel Cabrera is playing one more.
Cabrera, you sure?
I believe he's playing one more.
I thought he had called it a career. I really triple-checked that one. But either way, Nelson Cruz is way up there on the all-time list. He's even higher on the active player list. And this is a guy that also, just like Michael Wacha, has some postseason experience. He talks about that in this interview you're going to hear shortly. 2011 is the year I remember for Nelson Cruz. He was playing right field for the Texas Rangers. Game 6 of the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Rangers had a 3-2 lead. This is the game that David Fries went crazy for the Cardinals. And I believe he hit a ball over Cruz's head in right field that got the tying run in late in the ball game, maybe even in the bottom of the ninth inning. And Cruz, it would have been an amazing play had he made it.
It would have been tough.
But he didn't make the catch, and the ball fell in, and Fries ended up tying the game, wound up winning it himself with a home run in extra innings, if I recall. And then Fries and the Cardinals win the World Series the next day. But Nelson Cruz, he talks a lot about that in this interview, that he got to the World Series in 2010, 2011, early part of his career, and he thought, well, I'm just going to get to go every year. And it just doesn't work out that way.
No.
And obviously Nelson Cruz hasn't been back to the World Series. He would love to return this year with the Padres. And, you know, we think about Carpenter. We think about Dahl. We think about Azokar. We think about Campusano. Talking about guys that are on the bench or, you know, cursory guys to this big lineup, nobody mentions Nelson Cruz.
No one does, yeah.
I mean, everything is all about the first four, Fernando, Bogart, Soto, Manny. Then you got Cronenworth. Then you got Carpenter. Then you got Grisham. Then you got Nola. Then you got that guy. Don't forget you got Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
And he slumped last year.
And he
sounds like he had a pretty good reason to slump last year, as you're going to hear in this interview.
Yeah, he didn't hit as many home runs as he wanted to with the Nationals, but I can't believe that he was still playing Major League Baseball with what was going on with
He couldn't see.
Yeah, his eyes. I didn't want to give it away, but then I gave it away.
Well, we give it away because you're going to hear the story now after Check of Traffic from Nelson Cruz.
Joining us now is our next special guest, Nelson Cruz, Padres designated hitter. Me and this guy go way, way back. I mean, I'm talking about Kane County, Beloit. We go back. Those are A-ball teams. So this would have been around 2003. We became teammates in 2005, I believe it was, with the Milwaukee Brewers. This guy has gone on to be one of the best home run hitters of all time. Nelson Cruz, Nelly, how are you, my man?
What's up, guys? Really good. Excited for the season, you know. I cannot be in a better place, you know. Every morning you wake up with that excitement to come up and try to get better, try to push your teammates to get better. When you have the type of team, you know, I guess the fans know it. We all feel the energy that we're going to have all season long. And I cannot wait to go to Petco, you know, and feel that.
The Padres have had you on their radar for at least 2 or 3 years. Now, they were finally able to land you this last offseason. Why was the time right now for you to come to San Diego?
I guess everything lines up to be the year. I got calls from Manny last year, the year before, the year before that. I want to be in the team that I can take that shot to go to the playoff and win the whole thing. And I believe in my heart that this is the team that they're going to take all the way. And hopefully God give us the help, you know, and we'll be able to bring that joy to the city of San Diego. And that's our goal.
Nelson Cruz is with us. It's a great honor to meet you and to have you on the show. I mean, as soon as the season starts, he becomes the active home run leader in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, that's incredible to me. What have you seen from San Diego from afar, coming to San Diego as a visiting player in the past? And do you have any idea what the excitement level is going to be like? Did you watch the postseason at all last year, knowing that hopefully you can be a part of something similar to that this year?
Yeah, I always love to come to San Diego, you know. It's one of my favorite stadiums to come and show up. One of my favorite cities also. I mean, who don't love San Diego?
Yeah,
easy to come and love. But I had the chance to came last year with the Nationals, and we in last place. We have literally treated everybody. And it don't matter who show up to San Diego, it's sold out. You know?
Right, right.
I mean, you feel for that energy, and I look for that, like I said, you know.
Nelson, one of the things that people will come to know is this dude has a positive just vibe about him, usually smiling, always upbeat. You come into a locker room with a lot of leadership, but I think the main guy in this locker room, and Manny, you said he reached out to you the last 3 years to try to get you here. He kind of looks to you like a big brother. You come into this locker room with a bunch of leaders. What is that going to be like for you? Have you been in a locker room where you've had so many dudes that can lead?
Yeah. Well, you have like atmosphere, the guys who wants to win, you know. You have a bunch of those because you had to believe each one of those guys at some point during the season gonna step up and do the job. It don't have to be necessarily talking or doing something to lead the team, but on the field, you know,
right,
take us to win the game. And I believe we have a bunch of those. Manny is a great example. I mean, it's I guess weird and different when they call you dad. but sometimes
Grandpa.
Manny called me dad. I was like, okay. Well, literally, I can be his dad.
I don't know if you're that.
Not
old.
Quite.
You're
not that quite.
But yeah, I know Manny for many years. Remember the first day he was called up in Texas. We got a chance to meet. We talk, and since that day, we have a pretty good relationship. You know. We always talk about baseball, life, and everything, regardless of what's going on around baseball. So our relationship is growing, and that's the case with most of the guys there in the locker room.
Speaking of Texas, you had a taste of the World Series. You were right there, I think, a game away with the Rangers from winning it all. It didn't quite happen. How much does that still drive you, getting back to a World Series, being part of that whole atmosphere, and this time getting that ring?
Well, once you go twice to the World Series, it's like, okay, this is easy. I got to go every year.
Yeah.
Well,
haven't been back since,
oh,
huh?
My God. Yeah, it's been like
on the Nationals 12 last
years,
year.
12 years since last time I was in the World Series, you know. So I always, when we win the playoff, the times I have be back to the playoff, you know, I always make sure I give it that info to the guys, you know. It's not easy to go to the playoff, so make sure you take advantage of any chance you have here because it doesn't come up that easy. So once I had the chance to be part of this something special like we have here, I gotta make sure I do the right things every day and be prepared for any opportunity to come up to help my team to win games.
Last year, many people don't know or may have found out that you basically played last season with one eye. You couldn't
still
see,
hit 20 home runs.
You couldn't see out of your left eye, which is your lead eye as a right-handed hitter. Just talk about how nice it is to be able to see out of both eyes again and play this game at a high level.
Well, I thought, like, oh, something's going on. My bot is slow. My eyes are messed up. I cannot see the – I mean, it was hard. Frustrating because as a hitter, as a player, you want to do everything it takes. You know, I prepare myself. I work out. I do the starters. I feel good. My body feels good. But for some reason, I cannot see the ball. So it's nice after the surgery, you know, to be able to follow pitches, you know, see the spins. And feel like, okay, I'll be able to compete again.
Was that the part that was hardest, not seeing spin?
Yeah. No doubt. That's the hardest part, you know. To be able to hit breaking balls, you have to see spin.
Yeah.
And follow those pitches, whatever is going, go outside, inside, whatever it might be. Like I said, it's nice to be back and feel that have the feeling.
Nelson Cruz is with us. Last thing for me, Nelson. If you were to take a young kid who was kind of a strong hitter, young high school kid, and give him advice as to how best to be a career home run type hitter, what would be the first thing you would try to tell him as far as being able to hit the long ball and, you know, being able to do it on a consistent basis? Because hardly anybody's done it as well as you.
The first thing is you have to love what you do, you know. Okay. Show up to the stadium without drive a single day, you know. Like I said earlier, to get better, to push your teammates to get better. Once you find that love, you know, it comes natural, I guess, you know. Workout, the days that you don't want to wake up, the days that you feel like, oh, why, how am I going to do this, you know. I find a way to get it done and push through. And after that is just enjoy yourself, you know, be yourself. I believe my first few years in the big leagues, I want to be somebody else, you know, instead of just be who you are. Learn from others, no doubt. But at the end of the day, is you. You are unique, and you have to find a way to get it done, being yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dad, a.k.a. Nelson Cruz.
Nelson, speak for yourself, Tony. He's like 20 years younger than me.
Nelson, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Nelson. You know, the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the day had a very famous slugger hit from the left side by the name of Willie Stargell. Year they won the World Series, 1979, Scraby, before your time. They called him Pops. And he was one of the most famous of all time, Willie Stargell was.
I think we've talked about him in the studio.
Much too early, Willie Stargell did. Passed away in his late 40s, early 50s, if I'm not mistaken. But great slugger for the old Pirates. And he used to hand out Stargell stars that they were little yellow stars that the Pirate players used to wear on their caps.
Okay.
And they could only get it from Pops.
Really?
And that meant more to them than anything. So the Pirates can have Pops. The Padres have Dad in Nelson Cruz. Good having him on the show today. And we still have plenty more to come on our get-together. Nabil Krismat will be with us at 4:20 this afternoon following Chris versus the Fans. We'll have Adam Engel and Jesse Agler, the voice of Padre Baseball, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And don't forget, more to come tomorrow. We should have another big show. We're going to be broadcasting live again from Peoria tomorrow. Blake Snell is on our wish list tomorrow. Matt Carpenter, I know, is on our wish list for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And several others.
Yes.
So we will be bringing you another jam-packed, star-studded Gwynn and Chris program tomorrow. In the meantime, NCAA Sweet 16 action in New York, Kansas State and Michigan State. Neither team has really grabbed control of this game yet. They are midway through the first half right now. Kansas State holding a one-point lead, 18-17. And the second game should be getting underway in about 10 minutes. The second game today is Arkansas and the Sauce. And UConn, they will be getting underway shortly. Of course, the Aztecs play tomorrow against Alabama. See, I thought Nelson Cruz, just because he's a big slugger in Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. was going to walk over and be this hulking, imposing figure.
I felt like he was hulking and imposing.
Did you
yes.
really think
I did.
That?
I
just
did.
Standing next to him, did you think?
He was bigger than me.
You looked bigger than him.
Really?
Well, in some places.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew that was coming. I was like, there's no way I look bigger than him.
I look bigger than him in those very same places, Scraby. So don't kid yourself. But, yeah, no, Nelson Cruz, what a terrific guy. He came over and
– Yeah, he was really nice. nice.
He wanted to do the interview. He was like, hey, I promised that I was going to do it, and he came on out, and he was great.
I have anxiety like crazy when people are waiting for us, and when especially Nelson Cruz are waiting for us to
somebody
get done.
Of his stature.
We were interviewing Jesse, and Nelson, he was just sitting down enjoying the interview, and we were like, sorry. He's like, no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, he was just having fun.
Well, he has a son with him, and they were so he's enjoying spring training with his son. So he's a dad in more ways than just to the Padres, right?
Yes.
He had his son with him today. So, yeah. All right. So we've had Joe Musgrove. We've had Michael Wacha. We have had Nelson Cruz and more still to come. So do not go anywhere as Gwen and Chris rolls on. We're halfway home. When we come back, a little Chris versus the fans for you. Dial in at 833-288-0973. You want to play some trivia? Perhaps go to Las Vegas. Give us a call. Your chance to do that is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.